Let's look at a little thought. Matthew chapter 6. We've been studying through just the Sermon on the Mount. We're in chapter 6. Talked about giving the last time I preached that I preached on this passage. But now we move to another subject that, of course, the Lord Jesus is addressing, prayer. And I want you to notice the Bible says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard," notice this, "for their much speaking." Now, really, I want to clear up a couple of things here. First of all, this is not a condemnation for public prayer. I want to say very honestly, quickly, all of you would agree, there's been many times that I've been in a prayer meeting and I have been encouraged and strengthened by hearing someone pray. So God is not completely saying that He's saying not to pray in public. He's not dealing with that situation here. As our Lord always does, He never deals with anything like we do most of the time from surface level. He always deals with the root of an issue, and that root is always the heart, and He's always concerned about the motive and the attitude. So really, the thought tonight is He's teaching on having the right attitude of prayer. The right attitude of prayer. Now, sadly, prayer is something that all of us are aware of. We're here on a Wednesday night. We have a special time of prayer. We have a men's prayer breakfast that I would encourage every man to come to. It's on a Saturday. It's usually the third Saturday of every month at 8:30. But we are so familiar with prayer, I'm afraid that's a bad thing, because we're so familiar with it that many times we're so familiar with it, we're not engaged in it. And so when we think about prayer, as you study the life of our Savior, we find that He was committed to prayer. He had constant communication with His Father. That was by prayer. Praying is simply us imploring. I wrote it down just like this. It's where did I write it down? I had that wrote down. I wanted to read it just like I had it wrote down. Must be later on somewhere else. We'll get to that in a minute. But praying is so vital to the Christian life. And we use the word praying, but what is it? It's talking to God. It's asking God. So when we think about a relationship, no relationship is going to be a strong relationship without us communicating with one another.
Right.
We cannot have the right kind of relationship with the Lord without communicating with Him. And so the Lord talks about the attitude of prayer. And He's dealing with public prayer here. But more than public prayer, He's dealing with the attitude and the motive of prayer. So I want you to just notice here tonight, let's look at some attitudes towards prayer. Number one, He shows something here of praying vainly, empty. I want you to notice verse number 5. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." Now, what's a hypocrite? He's an actor. He's a pretender. The hypocrite, when God uses the word hypocrite, it's like someone getting up on a stage and playing someone they really aren't. We know what an actor is. If they play a movie or a television show, they have to play that actor. That's really not who they are. That's a hypocrite. So when the Lord says, "Pray not like the hypocrites do, pretenders, empty or vain, praying vainly." So let me just say, what are the attitudes? And I'm afraid this is something that we all have to struggle with if we're not careful. I want you to notice one of the things is they were praying. Are y'all ready? The attitude is they wanted to be recognized. Now I want to just say this quickly. This has more to do than just prayer. This has everything to do in our motives of serving the Lord. Now, I'm 43. I still have flesh. I still have to battle my pride. I still have to battle, and I'll have to battle that till the day I die, and so will you. We think an awful lot of ourselves, but I will say this. I can say it honestly, and I can say it purely. I'm 43. My days of trying to impress people are over. I've been in it too long. You know what my motive is today? I just want to help. I want to be a blessing. Sometimes I'm misunderstood. Sometimes I'm not misunderstood. But my goal is not to say, oh, wow, look at so-and-so. Because here's the thing. I know who I am. I know who I have to look at every day in the mirror. But that still does not change the fact we have God's Word and God's work. I am confident in Him. I'm confident in His Word. Although I wish sometimes that I was so more fluent in the way I could speak that would make it even more of a blessing to people. My motive is never to be seen of people. But this gets caught up in churches and in our prayer lives and in our serving lives. And I want you to notice God says, you have your reward. If my desire to pray and give some eloquent, long, waxing speech in a prayer, oh God, and I'm giving all this beautiful language to impress you, listen to me, that's all I get. Oh, I might impress you, but I don't need to impress you. I need to get through to God.
Yeah.
If I have a burden on my heart, what does it matter? You know, some of the shortest prayers that was the most effective is when that man said, oh, God, save me. That wasn't an eloquent prayer. He didn't tune up and recite it and read it and make sure that everything was right from his heart. He said, oh, God, save me. God saved him. So God's saying an attitude of prayer. It's not when we pray publicly, oh, I tell you what, he prayed such a beautiful prayer. A beautiful prayer doesn't mean much if it doesn't get above these ceiling tiles.
Right.
So he's dealing with a vain prayer being recognized. And I'm sorry, church. I've seen it in the Christian realm. I've seen it in churches just like ours and everywhere. I see too much of us in it. What about me? What about me? What about me? Can I just say I love what all three of you men said we talked about today. You mentioned it tonight, and I know you're going to mention it more later. But listen to me. There is no small job here. Nobody should be doing anything here to be recognized of men. We're doing it because it's coming out of a flowing heart. Prayer is specifically here. He's saying, look, the vain praying is coming because someone wants to be recognized. They wanted to be seen of men. They wanted to be heard of others. They weren't interested in getting their answer. They weren't interested in getting to God. They were just interested in being seen of men. The hypocrites would pray these big long prayers, and all they were concerned about was people looking and saying, man, look at so-and-so. Mr. Pharisee, boy, he sure can pray. So we see that's a vain prayer. That's a bad attitude of prayer. It reveals motives. And can I say to you, I've done it before. I've been too worried about who's been in the building or in the room with me. I'm too worried about, man, I got to be careful what I say here because someone's listening. They might think I'm an idiot if I pray like I should. No, God says that prayer really didn't get much because you were more worried about being seen of men than getting through to me. I'm going to tell you something, church. I believe this is killing us. I believe this is killing our churches. I believe it's killing our prayer life because we're more interested in impressing somebody else than truly getting to God.
Amen.
He said, don't pray like the hypocrites. They're only trying to be recognized. Now, again, important. He's not condemning public prayer. He's condemning the wrong motive in public praying. It's always the motive. It's always the attitude. It should be coming from a pure heart, from a burdened heart. Let me tell you something. If our children today, and you know what I'm talking about, if our children needed help, I'm going to tell y'all something right now. If I truly needed to get a hold of God, if I was really, truly burdened and worried about my children and maybe their lives was close to being to the end, I'm going to tell y'all something right now. At that moment in time, it doesn't matter who's around, I'm not going to care what my speech sounds like. I'm not going to be worried about impressing you or not impressing you. My only desire then is I see God, my children need help from a flowing heart. So we see that the praying vainly, one of them was because they were being recognized. Quickly, they've been recognized, but let me just say there is a reward to this kind of an attitude of prayer. You will be rewarded. Now hold tight. I've prayed some prayers where I've been rewarded by the wrong ones. Oh, Pastor, that sure was a sweet prayer. That sure was a good prayer. But you know what? Sometimes I've prayed and I've changed my prayer. I've worried more about who's hearing my prayer than making sure it gets to God. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's been my reward when someone come up to me and said, boy, that sure was a good prayer. Might have been a good prayer to a person, but if it didn't get up to God, that was my reward. By the way, when we do anything with the wrong motive, trying to be recognized, that's our reward. And can I just say this quickly? In today's society and with humans are fickle. You will be hero today, you can be zero tomorrow. So you should never be doing anything to catch the eye of people because people are fickle. Should never be doing anything to be recognized. But again, if you want, you have that desire. He gives us a profound truth here. If that's all we desire is a recognition of men, God says you'll get it. But he'll tell you what you won't get. You're not going to get through to me. But the desire or the burden was polluted by the lust for praise and the recognition of people. In other words, they did not reach the throne. Can I say, we need prayers that are going to reach the throne.
Amen.
You ever heard a grandchild? They go into another room and they pray real loud. Someone said, honey, you know that you don't have to yell that loud to get a hold of God. And the little grandchild's being honest. You know what he said? Well, I really wasn't trying to get God near. I was wanting Grandma to hear it in the other room.
Yeah.
Because I knew if she heard I wanted that toy, Grandma would buy me the toy.
Yeah.
Now we laugh and we scoff at a little child and say, oh, that's cute stuff. We do it all the time. So we need to be careful of this vain praying. But then I want you to notice he deals with something else here. Praying in an obligation. Look at verse 7 quickly. It says this, but when you pray, use not vain repetition. Now let me just say this, Brother Chris. He is not condemning repeating a prayer request. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed the same thing on the cross 3 times. The Apostle Paul prayed 3 times for the same thing. So he's not condemning repetitive prayer requests. If we have a burden, we ought to go to the Lord. Again, he's dealing with motive. In other words, he says, look, do not do it as the heathen do. Look at verse 7. It says, pray not using vain repetition of the heathen. What's that mean? You know, the ones that was on the Mount Carmel and they were trying to cut themselves. They were calling these names out. And they were trying to get the fire down from heaven in the Old Testament when there was a showdown on the mountain. They were just up there dancing. And I guarantee you what they were doing. They were giving vain repetition. They were saying the same words over and over and over and over and over. In other words, it was like a recited prayer. God says, don't use prayer and obligate it by obligation. In other words, it's stammering out of words. No thought or desire is in the prayer. No burden. We pray too much out of obligation. But it's, again, he's not condemning repetitive requests, but it's the attitude from a flowing heart. A burden. It's not going to be familiar words that we've recited. He said, don't pray in a way of where you're just doing it out of obligation. Where is the burden? Oh, I'm going to pray because the pastor asked me to pray. Is it more than that? Oh, I've got to pray with my wife because that's just what we do as Christians. That's what he's talking about. You're not just getting and saying the same words. Just say, oh, I prayed a prayer. These are the words I pray all the time. These ought to be coming from a flowing heart. Not like someone that's dancing or praying in front of an idol and just saying the same words over and over and over. Coming from a flowing heart. Can I say, we've recited many times. Then it says, much speaking. Much speaking. A long flowing prayer. By the way, there's nothing wrong. There are times there's going to be longer prayers than others. So he's not refuting long prayers. Again, he's dealing with motive. Again, some of the shortest requests that have ever been made known to God were answered, and it wasn't because of all the words that he spoke. It's because it was from a burdened heart. So we see these attitudes, prayer and obligation. We see it praying as far as in vanity. But I want you to notice quickly as we close tonight, there is a praying of sincerity. Look at verse 6 real quick. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. What's he talking about here? Well, I first have to note here, there's a place that he speaks of. A secret place. Now, does that mean every time we have to pray, we have to go to a secret place? No. But I believe he is encouraging us because, again, he's dealing with an attitude of prayer. He's talking about a secret, private place. Now, why would you think, what's the practical purpose of that? Well, one is, number one, there just would be free of distractions. How many of us ever try to pray? By the way, if we're praying publicly sometimes, if a baby cries or something happens in the group where we're at, sometimes it distracts us from what we're really wanting to pray. So he's saying there's times, there's a place that you must go. He says there's a particular place. There ought to be a particular place that all of us go. There's a place of private prayer where there's no distractions, where we can truly get alone with God. A secret place. The point is where we are comfortable. Now, quickly, as I say, as I close, I think all of us will understand this. Laura and I, we can talk here. We talk a lot in public. We really do. But if you really, really, there are times, though, that there are secret, private times, and that there are times that there are certain things that I can't say to my wife in this room. I'm not even saying they'd be wrong or they would be bad. I can express my heart and my love to my wife in a public room, but there's nothing like going home in the privacy of my home and being able to speak to her in a comfortable way and be able to speak to her in a more intimate way in a public place than I would in a public place. Same principle. We ought to have such a sweet, precious communication with our Savior. We're comfortable with it. We're in a place where we're comfortable. We're not worried about other ears. We're not distracted by any other thing. Why? Because this private, very sweet, intimate conversation that my wife and I have in the privacy of our home is what we've built our relationship on. Yes, we have a good relationship in public, but what has built our relationship is the intimate, private, secret communication that we've had in the privacy of our home. And how much greater should that communication be with our Father? That's why he says when you pray, have a time where you have a place and it's private, alone time. Why? Because he's dealing with the attitude of prayer. There should be times in our life where there should be no distractions. There should be. He's giving principles here to lend us to a place where we can go to a private, secret place. And he's dealing with motive. If no one else is around, I don't have to worry about trying to impress somebody else. My only motive is to get a hold of God. So I thought, Lord, have I prayed more in public because I've been asked? Or have I prayed more in private because I've needed you? I think he's dealing with the motive and the attitude of prayer. Oh, how we need to communicate with our great God.
Amen.
God help us to be completely free of trying. You know, I'm just going to be honest with y'all, church. I'm just sick of people trying to impress somebody else.
Amen.
It's disgusting. It's repulsive, and we have our reward. How about we just get along with God? We serve God for God. How about we keep digging because of God? How about let's do it whether we get any recognition or not? We might not have the role we want, but praise God we have a role. And by the way, every role is important because we are not serving for an audience down here. The last time I read my Bible, in the book of 2 Corinthians, for we labor for an audience that we may be accepted of Him. God help us. Can I ask y'all tonight? We don't have any amplification here tonight. Has everybody been able to hear me tonight? Even in the back? And boy, what a blessing. Miss Jessica's a new Christian. She's here again tonight.
Amen.
What a blessing. Thank all of you for being here. Let's pray. Let's ask God to help us to have the right attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Give us all safety as we travel home tonight. Thank you for these dear, precious people. Thank you for this special service. In Jesus' name, amen.